There we are, still at the Venice Film Festival, and I bring you the next interview to the new out-of-competition film of Andrea Di Stefano. Hello, Andrea, he's here with me now.
Hello.
So this is a story about tennis and about one man who tries to get back in the game. In more than one sense, he doesn't really want to play tennis again, but get a grip on his life. How did you find that story? What did fascinate you about it?
Well, the movie, it's partially autobiographical. I was a young kid with a father who believed he could become tennis champion. And the movie is an attempt to make an homage to a tennis coach I met when I was in my early teens, and that was able to tell me something the right day at the right time that changed my life. He wasn't a perfect man. He was full of doubts and full of problems, but it was important to me. And it's something that we all have. You know, we all have some teachers that we met in our life that, you know, they might not be perfect human beings, but they teach us important things.
The main character is portrayed by Pierfrancesco Favino, but there's also the important figure of a young boy who needs to learn tennis, and we don't know if he really wants to learn tennis. So is that the figure that you see yourself in?
That's the autobiographical part. Yeah, most of the scene that you saw in the film, I lived them for real, so I tried to portray them as, you know, as truthful as I could. It's really a story that talks about, you know, losses of tennis matches, but also losses of life. And these two characters that are two different kind of solitudes, because tennis is a sport that you can really feel alone. You're always alone on a tennis court. You win, you're alone. You lose, you're alone. If you lose, it's very harsh because, there's very few people you can blame it on, part of yourself. And it's a movie about two losers that together they win something, you know, a match on a more complex court, which is life. And so it's these two tragic trajectories that they find an understanding and they help each other.
As we said, the main character, Paul Gatti, is portrayed by Pierfrancesco Favino. You have already worked with him once in The Last Night of Amore. How was it to come back to his work for this story, which is very different in tone and narrative?
Well, it was very easy because we really like to work with one another. We trust each other. We listen to each other a lot more than talk. You know, we have a lot of a good exchange. And I like to work with actors that you feel like they can have a volume of emotions that can make characters three-dimensional. And he's an amazingly talented actor, one of the best in the world to me.
How was it to see him in retrospective as a kind of somebody who was a father figure when you were a boy, and now you see him and you tell him what to do? So you basically become the coach to him. How did that change of dynamic
feel?
Well,
it was a funny exercise to do because, you know, you live the experience, then all of a sudden you become some kind of god figure over the experience, and you start making things right, but also trying to send them, you know, to structure informations for the actors or what they should feel or what they felt in that moment. But at the same time, I felt that after 2-3 weeks of shooting, it became another story. You know, the young actor and Favino, they became their own characters. And so it became, the movie took, you know, it took its own way. It was very scary to see it. At the same time, very refreshing. It was kind of magic to me.
And could you already play tennis, or did you teach him tennis?
I taught them, both of them, tennis a little bit. I don't play in it as much, but yeah, I still play tennis, yeah.
Was it traumatic to go back to that? Because if you see the story, we think the boy doesn't particularly like to play tennis.
No, in fact, I'm not regularly a player. I think it's a very harsh sport. You're always alone. I remember the you know, in adolescence where I was always alone. I was always alone, either with my father or with my coach. On Saturdays, you have semifinals, on finals, on Sundays. So weekends, when all my friends used to go out and have fun, I was with old people. In my eyes, my father was 35, 40, but he was an old man. So it's very different to see it today. Looking back, when I was in that car and I saw young people having fun outside the window of the car because it was Saturday afternoon, I just won a final. To me, it was a very sad moment that I won. And so it's very conflictual.
Which brings us to the time setting of the how important was the era for you? And did you ever think about putting the whole story into the present?
You couldn't have had the same story in the present. You couldn't say to somebody today, I won and it didn't happen. Or I'm here and you're somewhere else, especially at that age. Parents can find you in a second. And in those days, you could disappear. You can make excuses. You could build your own life and tell somebody else that what they want to hear. I never thought about making it today. I decided to do in 89, even if my story happened in 86, because, you know, you had first time in tennis, you had like teenagers win tournaments. And I remember my father, it was Boris Becker before, my father telling me, you know, you're 13 and Boris Becker just won Wimbledon at 17. That means we're very late. And I was like, late for what? Because he was thinking you're late to become champions, now they're younger and younger. That was that kind of pressure, you know, expectation from a father that I couldn't fulfill. So it was on me a lot of sadness and frustration.
Actually, how did you escape that tennis world to then decide to become something very different, which is a film director?
I escaped at the end, thanks to culture and art. I was able to find something that I could find in things that I love, something that I was sure I loved them. Tennis, I would probably say, yeah, I'm a tennis player. I like to play tennis. I like to win. But once I found art, it was my savior, because I know I love and I chose to love. Nobody else is telling me that I should love it.
Did you always know that you wanted to tell that story also on screen?
Well, I didn't know it was a good movie. I was an actor and I pitched we were talking about relationship with sports, and I would tell them, I was in a table full of screenwriters. I just started acting and I was laughing about the relationship I had with this crazy coach who, you know, I was in total danger of the stuff he would do. I was sit out the story of the bath and the woman coming inside and take a pee that is in the movie. That really happened. All the scenes of the film really happened. And I remember I was telling this story and everybody was like laughing. I said, but that's crazy. I mean, how could he let that happen? And I said, you know, I don't know, but it felt so, she wanted to pee. She said, close your eyes. I closed my eyes. It was the first time I saw a naked woman. And she was so at ease. I mean, she was actually, we picked him up and took him upstairs, which was American screenwriters. To them was like, she took him upstairs. And yeah, she said, you know, I'm not hungry. Let's go upstairs. And so it was, and when I was telling the story, they said, but that's a screenplay. That's like in Sorpasso with Gassman. They gave me the references. And I started thinking about it in the years. And then after 5-6 years, I started structuring the story naturally, thinking about other. And then I wrote it in 2007 and I put it away. And I started making all kind of different stories and writing different stories. And then this came back up. And when I met Jeff Francesco, I felt he was ready to tell the story of that character. There was something in his eyes in a particular moment of his life that I thought, oh, there's a frailty in there that could be very narrative. So I decided to do it.
Are you still in contact with your original coach from back then? And has he seen the movie?
Not yet.
Are you worried about what he might think?
No. I think it's going to be interesting for him too.
So I guess that means you didn't consult him on certain things, or maybe
I told him I was going to make a story that somehow inspired by our relationship, which was very brief. I kept seeing him because there was a tennis club that my parents used to go to, and my father was obsessed with tennis, and he was always laughing. Oh, that's funny. Make us laugh. It was always like, but so I'd show him one day, but pretty soon he's going to go to the movie theater. So.
And what would you hope from him as a reaction?
I don't know. I think he's going to feel that there's a lot of heart in it. I guess I think that the movie shows that whatever he did on the last shot, the kid runs toward net and he plays an attack. So in that way, there is some divine intervention. He was able to change things. And in that sense, is a religious tale that two losers, they can win on a court, which is by some magic elements, they can win on a court that is much more complex than tennis, which is life. You know, those two losers, they create something together.
Would you say it's also a story about ideas of masculinity and finding a masculine example in someone?
No, I never saw it that way. I don't know if somebody reads it that way. I think there is a lot of, today there is a lot of curiosity in defining what's masculine and feminine and what's in the middle and what is in between. And we need to define it. In those days, it was much more brutal. You know, you could be, it was much more freer because you could really be whoever you wanted to be. And yeah, it might make people, some people might giggle, but you had to have a personality and just explain who you were. And I felt that some of the characters, nobody would get offended that easily. That would create personalities that were very powerful, you know, admirable. And I think that we need that madness a little bit more. Now everybody's too afraid of offending people and we're losing a little bit of the madness, which is part of us human. We think of ourselves that we're not animals anymore. And I think that we have to go back to that.
And final question, since the time is running out, do you already have a new project?
Well, not yet. No, I have some scripts ready, but I don't know which one I'm going to do it yet.
Thank you so much, Andrea Di Stefano.